We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon. You know what happens Thursdays. Well, second hour, there's bad news. We have a press conference from the governor. First hour, there's good news. We have a press conference with Tom Shattuck. Hello there, Thomas.
Hi. You know, you don't hear enough of the Plastic Ono Band anymore.
You don't?
No.
Or Yoko Ono solo work.
Oh, man. I actually was so obsessed with John Lennon that I bought a bunch of Yoko stuff. And his crazy stuff in the 70s.
You're the only person ever that obsessed with John Lennon.
Yeah, that was, And well, back then, you know, it was tough to get these things. You can get everything on YouTube now. Every lost tape, every recording session, whatever. But, you know, back in the 80s and the 70s, you know, you'd have to hope that a record store has a bootleg copy of something or, something that was rare, and so I'd buy whatever I could get, and a lot of that stuff was unfortunately Yoko
screaming.
We have
dinner fairly often whenever we can with the grandkids, and Ethan is 15 and really into music, knows more about what came out in the late 60s, early 70s than I do. It's totally fascinating. Anyway, he was asking me something about John Lennon. Oh, no, there was a John Lennon song playing on Alexa, and it had, you know, it was from Double Fantasy. So he said, is this from the Double Fantasy album? And I said, yeah. You know why it's called Double Fantasy? He said, yeah, because Yoko's on it. And I said, yeah. And I told him about this quote I had read that, who knows if it's true or not, but where John Lennon was said to have said to Yoko after the album came out and shot to the top of the charts, he said, now you're a standalone certified act. You're a star. You don't need me anymore. You're established on your own. And I thought, wow, that's love. That, to be that delusional, that's love.
Yeah, he wasn't doing her any favors, though. I mean, she sang a good song on that album.
Yes,
I'm Your Angel.
Yes. Kiss, Kiss, Kiss.
No, she's saying, yes, I'm your angel. I give you everything. Do you remember that song?
I don't. I just remember Kiss, Kiss, Kiss being the disco one. Do you know that one?
What?
Kiss, 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 Kiss Me Once.
Oh, yes, yes. That was an actual single, I think.
It was, yeah. It was big in the discos, I think.
I had forgotten that. Oh, man. That is tough. Her stuff is tough. I can't even listen to Bungalow Bill without hearing her wailing in the background. It bothers me.
It's very tragic that that particular relationship developed when it did.
Right. And
or at all.
Yes. And then Paul brought his talentless girlfriend on board to be part of Wings. And there was this odd contest of these two prolific musical geniuses bringing.
But wait a sec. What? Stop saying that like there's an equality between those two things. If John wanted to start a band and do ridiculous music with Yoko, that's fine. Who cares? Go have your life. You broke up with the Beatles. But to have her in her own bed in the studio while they're recording an album, the Beatles, that was disruptive. it violated our sense of decency anyway, if not the Beatles.
I mean, certainly there was a covenant between the guys that, that it was a collaboration between four guys, or at least alone and then brought to the other guys. But to bring somebody else in, that was definitely a violation. But we've all had that in our lives where suddenly a friend is acting different and he brings his girlfriend to intrude and change everything. It's incredible. It's sad to see. But no, I think I do blame them. I do think that the Beatles there was more creativity in the shoot if they hadn't caved to these maternal needs, both guys who'd lost their mothers when they were young. And, unfortunately, they gravitated towards filling a void.
You don't think they just got to a point where it was time to lead adult lives? They'd been together since they were teenagers. They had changed the world together, and they wanted to be able to make their own music and have their own lives and not be dominated by this group. And Paul McCartney was a megalomaniac at the time, it seemed, in terms of wanting to control everything that they put out and everything they did in the studio.
Well, I think somebody had to care, and Paul took a lot of over for a lot of what George Martin was doing and wanted more control. You know, you can't have, Revolution Number 9 every other track on an album. You need some kind of order, and Paul was on a roll, too.
Well, they only did Revolution Number 9 once, and that was too many times, I grant you, but still, it was a double album.
Yes, it was. It was a double album. There's a lot of that album was terrible. A lot of that album was brilliant. But I just think it's unfortunate.
Stuff.
And the problem is, as well, is that you had the Beatles for, let's say, 8 years. But mm-hmm. the first 3 years were a lot of the music was throwaway music. The Meet the Beatles, Please, Please.
A lot of
stuff.
It was very brilliant, too, though.
Yes. No, I agree. But I wish we could have had seen what they were going to do. I guess we could see what they were going to do in the early 70s. But
it's interesting what you're saying, though, because I have been going back and listening to some old albums recently. So Meet the Beatles, the mm-hmm. first one released in this country. Listen to these tracks. I Want to Hold Your Hand, dazzling 60s pop song. I Saw Her Standing There, same thing all over again. Hold Me Tight, sensational.
Not a great. Oh,
Ringo,
I don't think Hold Me Tight's a great song.
Ringo singing I Want to Be Your Man, delightful.
Mm-hmm.
All My Lovin', amazing.
Brilliant
song.
All
I Gotta Do, nice song. It Won't Be Long, filler, but Beatles filler was better than everything else released. And there's a George Harrison song, Don't Bother Me, that was really good.
I don't know if that's a great song. But
Not a great song, but a very good one.
It Won't
I mean,
Be
that's
long,
a delightful album. But then I also have, I'm sorry to go on, but you brought
that's okay.
up. The Beatles, or I don't know, maybe I brought it up. But the Beatles 6, I also have right here in mm-hmm. front of me a sealed version of it. It's one of the things I love about the Beatles 6, it says under it, the record company was still in charge of the album covers in these days. Like the bands didn't have the right to put what they wanted on the cover of the album. So it says Beatles 6. Above that, it says new, improved, full dimensional stereo. And below the title of the album, it says the world's most popular foursome, John, Paul, George, Ringo. And then it lists every track. But I agree with you on albums like that. And even I listened to, I forget which is the great one, Rubber Soul and Revolver are both viewed as being incredible albums. And I listened to one the other day and I could barely mm-hmm. get through it.
Well, I mean, first of all, we should talk about Beatles 6. Beatles 6 was sold for the cover. Beatles 6 and Beatles Something New, those were like those hybrid Beatles albums that took from certain other albums. Those weren't official Beatles albums.
Yes,
I think those
yes.
were capital albums.
Yeah, they were like B-sides and singles that had never made an album.
Exactly. Like there's a Hey Jude LP as well, you know. Yes, I don't think that's an official album, but yes, no, definitely.
Well,
it wasn't
America. It was an official album, but they didn't make it. You know, I don't know if that's what you're saying.
Well, what I'm saying is every song that's on Beatles 6 or the Beatles Something New is found on another album. It's not solely found.
So it's
I don't think the Beatles 6 is a Beatles official launch album. Like, please, please, me.
No, but
soul,
I think that's true of a lot of what was released in this country. And even if they were official Beatles titles, they would change the song mixes in this country. Like, Meet the Beatles was not the same as the album
with the Beatles
in England that had this. Yeah. And that had the same cover, but they had different track lists on them.
Right, and there's a Decca version of some of these as well. It's
that's true, yes.
It's crazy, but I agree with you. And actually, if you listen to "I Want to Hold Your Hand" and "I Saw Her Standing There," that sound, you know, CBS had talked about it. CBS had done a special on the Mercy Beat, and the special was delayed because JFK got shot, and then the special came out in early '64, I think January '64. In the Mercy Beat, that sound with Jerry and the Pacemakers and the Beatles with the huge bass drum, boom, 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 and "I Want to Hold Your Hand." If you listen to the rhythm section of "I Want to Hold Your Hand," it is hard rock and roll. It is more Metallica for its day than it was anything else. So
that's
true. And that's that album. I guess it's Meet the Beatles is so loud and bright and flashy, and that's what you get because you have a guy, George Martin, who's a classical producer. So he doesn't know to make it sound like a garage like the Rolling Stones albums do. They sounded beautiful like Disney albums. It was just the confluence of so many things.
I don't know if I would characterize it that way, but it was the sparkle part of it was absolutely true. There was something, "She Loves You," I don't even allow myself to hear very often because it came out when I was like 9 years old, and it just has such resonance for me still that I hear the strum of the guitar, and it's got this brightness to it and this sparkle to it that just brings me back to, I have a sensation of being a boy again. And it's weird. I don't want to lose that because nothing else brings me back in time like that. No, that sound is so unique. That production is so special.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, a lot of people say that they don't like the Beatles. How can you, the music, the catalog is so wide that there's no one Beatles sound.
Yeah, there's got to be something you like.
Right, there's something in there. I think that, I mean, you may not like, "I Want to Hold Your Hand," but you may like "Come Together" or "Revolution" or "Helter Skelter." I mean, what do you say? There's
or
the universe.
"I Am the Walrus."
Right, right. I wouldn't trust a person who loved that album, actually. I don't think that was a winner, although.
No, but that song is incredible.
Yeah.
Come on. All right, hold on, Tom. We've got to pause. When we continue, I have a Jordan Peterson cut that somebody sent to me, and I pulled this one little cut that I just think is remarkable that we never thought of, you or I. Tom Shattuck is here. Stay with us on WTIC. There we go. And watch out, Tom Shattuck might say that's not a very good song.
No way, this is a great song. You hear that? That heavy, that's John Lennon's Rickenbacker submachine gun guitar playing.
Listen to you. All right, listen, this is Jordan Peterson in a little segment that Len Susio sent to me. Listen to how smart this guy is. I love it.
The shared attributes of men and women far outweigh the attributes that differentiate them.
He's talking about diversity. The question would be here, is it racist to celebrate diversity?
Because you could ask, are there more differences within groups or between them? Now, the postmodern answer to that is between them. That's why you need diversity by group, right? That's why you need different races. That's why you need different ethnicities and sexual preferences and all of that. Well, that's wrong. There's more difference within the groups than there is between them. You don't get diversity by crossing the groups. You get diversity by selecting across individuals.
Isn't that beautiful?
Mm.
Did you catch that?
Yeah.
If you want diversity, there is more diversity inside a group. In other words, if you're focusing on skin color and saying you need more skin color to have diversity, that's the same as hating people because of their race. You're judging them on their skin color. And that's a superficial, meaningless differential. There are, of course, way more differences between people in any subset of humans because humans come with so many diverse aspects and attributes.
Right, and he says the diversity within the group, it's the individual. So between individuals, and I think that's interesting too, because if you're saying that diversity is between individuals, then you can't use the blanket concept of privilege, because that acknowledges that everybody has a unique story.
Well, of course, the privilege thing is grotesque for mm-hmm. its ugliness, for what it tries to do to human beings and how it tries to trivialize us. There are some people who are made magnificent and who are humbled by the gifts that they receive from life, and others who are made pompous and dismissive and separatist from it. That you can't, the idea that you could put everybody into a box based on some random circumstance is ridiculous.
Yes, and harmful, but there's utility in doing it, certainly. There's cultural, political utility.
Political utility, yes. But we have to make clear just how disgusting it is to engage in the total reconstruction of our political environment, which is what the left is on about now. They're trying to destroy America as it is known and say that it is not only is it not meaningful or effective, they're not even arguing that it doesn't have efficacy as an approach. They're saying it's hateful mm-hmm. and degrading to humanity to believe in liberty, that liberty is no good, that equality is a cruelty, because it doesn't follow the Marxist idea that everybody's outcomes should be the same.
Yes, and that all of our nobility rests in our physicality, in melanin, in the way our hair looks, our eyes look, you know, in other, you know, whatever particular gender, etc.
The superficial, yeah.
Yes, yes, that's where all of the value is. But the value is not in individual achievement or, you know, in extraordinary feats or accomplishments. In fact, those things are to be dissuaded. In fact, your road and path and your prospects have already been decided for you by your group, by whatever group you belong to. And so there's...
But here's the great takeaway from this, Thomas Shattuck. If you want diversity, get a bunch of white people into a room.
There's more difference within the groups than there is between them. You don't get diversity by crossing the groups. You get diversity by selecting across individuals. In fact, the idea that there is more differences between groups than there is between individuals is actually the fundamental racist idea. It's the fundamental racist idea, which is, well, let's say you're Asian, Oriental, to use the old word, to discriminate the one type of Asian, say, from the other. You're so different from me that there's no overlap between our groups. And you're also so different, and there's so little difference within your group, that now that I know that you're not me, you're not one of mine, I actually know what you're like. No. Technically, that's incorrect. That's wrong. That isn't how you get diversity.
I love that. I just think that is so powerful and so obvious that nobody would think of it.
Yeah, and also, it absolutely applies, and you never hear it. It applies to the black community. There's not one monolithic characteristic, personality, or preference in the black community. It's a vast swath of diverse beliefs.
Well, I don't know. According to the left, black people aren't even allowed to believe in the American system or government. They're not even allowed to be conservatives. Tom Shattuck is here. Tom, I've been talking a lot and driving the conversation. Next half hour belongs to you. News right now, then more of us coming up on WTIC. Yeah, that sounds like rock and roll too, doesn't it, Tom Shattuck?
That is a masterpiece of a song. And I like the other version too. I like the White Album version as well. Both are great.
Both good. Yes. 860-522-9842. We're happy to take phone calls if anything we say strikes a chord.
Ooh,
and
chord.
Don't forget the rant line. Don't forget the rant line's waiting for you at 860-751-4698. All right, Tom, go ahead. Talk to me.
No, I'm just noticing just around the today, there's this there's so much chaos happening. So this morning, Eric Bolling got in a shouting match with a woman who called him a racist, and he stormed off of the set and in the BBC. And just a few minutes ago, Geraldo Rivera asked Leo Terrell, who's black, I think, conservative.
Is he the jazz piano player?
I don't think so. No, no. He asked Leo Terrell, who I think he's a conservative. He's a black guy. He said, "When's the last time you were in the ghetto?" And then they went after each other and yelled at each other and said, "How dare you? Damn you! How dare you? You SOB!" And it's like, when have we had enough? When are we going to just put the game down for a little bit and say,
to
"All right,
out,
maybe"? I don't know. I mean, this is—it's remarkable. We saw it. We are terrible. We are acting so terrible. It's
Wait, who's the we? What are you saying?
The people in media, the discourse we're having in the country. You know, I sent you, or we were just talking about this piece of video with a granddaughter, a woman in her 20s, complaining about her grandfather. She's very woke, and she feels that he was watching something, some movie that was sexist or something. And so she's angry at him. So she ran to TikTok, which is what you do. You go to TikTok, and she complained about it.
My grandpa was watching a sexist movie last night, and I asked him to turn it off so that I could talk to him about how and why it was sexist.
Not that she could talk to him, how she could instruct him, browbeat him, and lecture him. You know, she's 22, granddad's 68. She's going to educate him.
And why I didn't want him to watch it in front of me. He told me that I shouldn't be upset about other people's actions. Okay, so you know what? I backed his car out of the garage, and I'm not going to put it back in. As my action, I'm going to leave it out there, and I'm going to see if it bothers him. And you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to play Hot Girl Bummer, and I'm going to play that as loud as I want, whenever I want, at whatever time of day I want. Does that affect you? Oh, and now I can't live here, so.
Does
so
that affect you?
Granddad gave her the heave-ho, I believe, at the end. I don't even know where to start. How do you share a country with a person like this? With this person?
But she's young. You're allowed to be
please.
Stupid when you're young, aren't you?
No, no. You're not. How do you not fundamentally understand? First of all, you're living off of your grandfather in his house.
But these kids have been raised with no understanding of money or courtesies or decency. They have no idea, unless they're blessed with a high level of consciousness. They don't know that humans are supposed to feel thankful for the gifts that have been bestowed upon them.
Well, then what are they, house cats? What's the difference then? Other than cats actually kill mice.
Well, they're Siamese cats, too. They do a lot of preening and acting superior. Let's grab a phone call, Tom. Steven, hi, you're on WTIC.
Hey, guys. I appreciate you sharing about the music and opening up a little bit about your feelings. It ingratiates me more to you and gives me more of an ability to trust you, even though I don't trust anyone completely. But I know the feeling about music. I love music. If I didn't have music, I don't think I could survive life.
How do you put it into application so that you survive? Like, how does it work in your daily life? Is it always there, or is it always in your head?
No, unfortunately, I drive a truck, and I don't have the technology to listen to what I like. And turning it on the radio now is just so boring because there's no variety left anymore, and they play this flimsy stuff that really has no artistic value. Just think about it, Todd. The music we listen to, that'll be listened to way after we're gone and way after those people are gone, and it'll still be appreciated.
That's
right. The stuff that it's disposable music, what we have today.
Yes, it's like pop culture. It's product. It's just thrown out there today for the most part. But the Beatles are there with the classical greats, I think, and people.
I wanted to say something about Peterson also. He's spot on. And really, if we could promote this truth, there's only one race, the human race. But we're pushed around by all this rhetoric from these Oh, I can't even say the words because I'd be censored.
No, but Stephen, if everybody understood this, if everybody heard what Jordan Peterson said, and that is there is much more that is diverse between people of the same races than there are than there is that differentiates us between races. It's the obvious. It's sitting in front of our faces all the time, and we haven't formulated the thoughts because these con men are out there 24/7 trying to make it seem like race is everything, and it's the opposite. It's so destructive. So if everybody just understood it and said, "Oh yeah, they're just feeding us baloney," we could not pay attention to them and be done with them.
Well, we're being challenged, and that's what brings great people to the fore, Todd. They step up to the challenge, and thank you for being there every day for us to listen to.
It's a blast, Stephen. I really appreciate it. Thank you for the phone call. I like what Stephen said about, well, I like everything he said, but when you hear people talking about music, it gives you a different feeling about, okay, there's a human I can relate to.
Well, yeah. Also, just fear about the therapeutic value of music. I don't, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts and a lot of radio, and I read a lot of, I'm into news, etc. And I don't enough listen to music, so I try to make it a point a few weeks. I used to all the time. I used to be a musician, a bad one, but I was one in my 20s. So I don't enough listen to music. And so, you know, I try to a few times a week just find something that I used to love, you know, from John Lennon's Imagine album, like Give Me Some Truth, or a great song like that.
Great song, or, yeah.
Yeah, so the music that I used to love, and I blast it. And I never mm-hmm. realized till once it's on how much I needed it. I mean, you got to have music in your life, loud rock and roll. And my kids love it, too, in the car. My kids love it. They're not intimidated by any of it. They listen to AC/DC. They think it's great and fun and wonderful. He's absolutely right. And he's right also about this being one race. We're all in this struggle here. This is a ride that is not permanent. We're only parsed out so many units of time. And to have these agitators nibbling at the edges, constantly looking for trouble and finding racism and finding injustice and finding, like this audio we played, finding a sexist, grandpa watched a sexist movie. Lighten the hell up, everybody. Seriously. This is not a permanent trip we're on here, as far as any of us know. And to just be
well,
petty.
She said something at the beginning, Tom, that I thought was kind of important. She wanted him to stop so that she could explain why she found the movie he was watching disturbing or something like that.
Yes.
And how about the opposite? How about saying, oh, Grandpa, can you interrupt this a minute? I want you to explain to me why this doesn't bother you. Because I've been raised in a generation where I've been taught to freak out if I hear anyone talk like that. And you don't seem to even notice. Can you tell me why? Like, how about trying to learn from each other instead of trying to tell each other all the time?
I don't think that they're taught to learn. They're taught that they need to be heard. They need to be seen. Their truth needs to be acknowledged. Remember, everybody is allowed to have their own truth now. So you can't pass judgment on that own truth. If she's decided that what Grandpa's watching is violence against her, then she's told in college that that's her truth, and that's as scientific as any other truth.
But do you think 25-year-olds today don't understand that the stuff that they believe was just made up a couple of weeks ago and that the rest of the world has no idea what they're talking about?
I don't think that they understand that. I wish. I don't see any of them listening. I see the behavior continuing to be bad. It's ridiculous. And they find comfort in all of these identities and all these victim identities, and they find it so interesting and fun to be part of. And this person, without self-realization, goes on to TikTok, and she thinks this is a good thing that people are discovering what she said. And discovering, I just want to play one part of this again.
My grandpa was watching a sexist movie last night. And
a sexist movie?
I asked him to turn it off so that I could talk to him about how and why it was sexist and why I didn't want him to watch it in front of me. He told me that I shouldn't be upset about other people's actions. Okay, so you know what? I backed his car out of the garage, and I'm not going to put it back in. as my action, I'm going to leave it out there and I'm going to see if it bothers him. And you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to play Hot Girl Bummer and I'm going to play that.
Now, hold on. First of all, she said, I want to talk to him, explain to him why I'm offended by him watching it in front of me. She doesn't see her moving as an option. It's my God-given right, privilege, duty, and obligation to be sitting right here at 7 p.m. Why would I don't, she doesn't see that as an option that she would ever move. He's not forcing her to watch anything. He's just watching something. And also,
well, that's the other part that she's missing. He's not really saying to her that people's actions don't impact each other. She's saying this is an action that's within my prerogative that has no impact on you. You can go upstairs. You can go outside. You can put on your earbuds like you often do and ignore everything going on in this room. There is nothing about me watching this movie that impacts you. So why are you bothering me? You know, how about a little understanding what the other person is saying to you instead of just reacting to it?
And that's the nicest possible way to say it. I would, you know, throw a little heat on it if I was going to say it to my own granddaughter. But also, she's going to lecture him on him watching the sexist thing, and she's going to then play Hot Girl Bomber? What is that?
Is this,
how does that make any sense?
Do you know what that is?
No, but I know it's got the name Hot Girl in it. I can imagine what it is. I mean, where do you even start? Where do you even stop with this? Start with this dumb generation? It's crazy.
Well, you know,
Hot Girl Bummer. I'm sorry about that.
Hot Girl Bummer. I was hoping you were going to sing it for us. All right, let's take a quick break. Tom Shattuck is here. It's Thursday. We start off with Tom. More coming up on WTIC.
Just because we get around.
So, Thomas, let's talk about this. I didn't tell anyone on the air yet, but I had a shot a week ago. I got my first vaccination. I succumbed. I believe that I would not have gotten a vaccination if I were not obligated to other people. But my wife's worried about her health because of me not being vaccinated. My mother, I can't go visit. I haven't seen my mother in like 9 months because of the lack of a vaccination. As soon as I've got my two and enough time has gone by, I'm there to see her. So I felt an obligation to do it. It makes me really uncomfortable, but I have to say, now that I'm into the process, there's a part of it that's gratifying. I feel like the whole world is going to line up around dividing in two parts based on who's vaccinated. And if you want to be able to exist in normal modern life the way we remember it, you're going to need to have your vaccine passport.
You know, Todd, because I am ready now for the end of the world, I hope they go along with, I hope they push for the vaccine passports and bar admission to entire demographics of Americans based on their reticence to get the to get the vaccine. I mean, it's so interesting. The left this year, in their effort to achieve total social justice and beat back Jim Crow, has reestablished segregation.
Yeah,
has destroyed the very communities we're supposed to be helping. It's so incredible to watch that now let's see them bar people from entrance into businesses because they don't have their vaccine passport.
It's a really interesting point, though. I don't know if this is what you were what you meant to make for a point on these vaccine passports, but one of the things the left has demonstrated by calling the communities they underserved communities, and then saying those communities need the vaccine worse than anybody else, and we're going to bring them vaccine equity. And the harder the Democrats scramble to bring vaccine equity, the bigger the divergence goes between urban dwellers or whoever's in the underserved communities and the more affluent communities that surround them. No matter what they do, they can't get the city people to get vaccinated at the same rate that the rest of the society does. So how do you interpret that? What's that all about?
Not only can they not do it, but they've sent now FEMA into cities. with mobile vaccination squads to try to
like
chase
the Oscar
down
Mayer Wiener truck or something they're driving around? What are they doing?
A syringe-shaped truck, yes. In order to plunge the syringes into the arms of people, many of whom who don't want them whatsoever. But they've locked themselves into this effort because it has to be equitable. We need equitable distribution of the vaccine.
But what they're proving is they can't provide equity. They are the full-time equity machine. They've been doing this for decades.
Right.
And there is no equity. And when the harder they try, the more inequitable the outcome. So if you want equity, fire the Democrats, and that will be the quickest way to get it.
Well, right. Right. There's no doubt about that. I mean, if you look at the way the democratically led federal government has treated the black community through the decades, you could understand why the black community would be a little wary of these syringes and shots. Most of the...
Well, plus the response of the Democrats is, wait a sec, black people are reluctant to get the vaccine. We have to declare war on vaccine reluctance. We're coming to get you because you're wary. You're not allowed to be wary in our society.
Exactly. Exactly. So now we have to pursue you and run you down
exactly.
Because you need to comply. You need full compliance, you understand? Meanwhile, we spent the last 5 decades telling black Americans that there is racism established in the systems around every corner. How are you supposed to turn the spigot off? No wonder why people don't want the vaccine.
It's very funny.
It's craziness,
but I
did have it as well. I get the second one, Todd, and I got to tell you, I felt like I had taken a shot of plutonium afterwards. That second day, I felt thoroughly poisoned after the Pfizer vaccine.
How long did that last for?
That next day, as of like 10 in the morning, I was fine, and then boom, and that was all that the rest of that day. It was weird. I just felt polluted. Everything felt
different. And then you woke up the next morning and you were fine?
All fine, yep. And actually, I was so like run ragged from the next day that I got to, from that day, I got to take a nice long nap. And then I felt, after I woke from the nap, I felt like I was like a Han Solo out of the carbon freeze. I felt like I was newly born. You know, the stairs felt new to me. The dog seemed new to me. It was like the whole thing. Everything was new and fresh.
All right, hold on. Let me interrupt this a sec. I have to say, a rant line coming up during the 5 o'clock hour, the rant line hour, 860-751-4698. Call in. Leave your massage there. And next hour, Jolly Ned will be here for a vaccine passport update in his press conference. And we're talking to Tom Shattuck, the purveyor of Tom Shattuck's Burn Barrel podcast. How do people find that?
Correct. That is Tom Shattuck's Burn Barrel podcast. That is on Apple and on Stitcher and all those other things. You can get that at burnbarrelpodcast.com, I think. That's my wife set it up. And I'm also at tomshattuck.com. Or just follow me at Twitter, at tomshattuck.com. All my stuff is there. My Substack is there. I'm trying to locate it centrally at tomshattuck.com, Todd, since I was...
I wish you would, please.
Since I was fleeced last time and beat down for not doing that. I will centralize it. And I've been having a lot of fun. It's nice to write. You know, I've been writing editorials for the last couple of years. Editorials can be hard work. It's boring.
They are hard.
You write about water rates.
Talking is way easier.
Oh, yeah. Well, talking, but not only that, but writing about what you like. So this is all the stuff that I like writing about, I'm passionate about.
Oh, as opposed to all that municipal stuff. JFK famously was trying to decide, John Kennedy, whether he was going to run for governor of Massachusetts or the U.S. Senate. This was when he was a congressman in the 50s. And he said, I don't want to decide where sewers are going to be built. I'm running for the U.S. Senate. Tom Shattuck, we'll see you next week. Thank you, sir.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.